The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hello, everybody from around the world, and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark Sigmund, what do you have this week in recovery news?
I have a fascinating story that I came across. New research has found that hornets can thrive on just alcohol without getting buzzed. An alcohol-only diet would throw most species off, but new research suggests that hornets can live apparently unimpaired. And the crazy thing is what they figured out is that there's a couple enzymes that these hornets put out that breaks down the alcohol and they're not impaired. And at the same time, it was saying that fruit flies, tree shrews, and many other animals naturally consume alcohol. So it's pretty crazy, but here's where it makes sense for us is maybe this can be studied, these genetic markers and everything like that, to help with fight alcoholism in humans. Yeah.
Well, listen, here's what I'm thinking. So what you're saying is they're unaffected. They could actually drive and not be impaired. Is that right?
They can fly.
They
can fly and they will not be impaired at all. I mean, they could drink it all day and not be impaired. And they're one of the only species out there that can do it. Now, it's a special kind of hornet that they actually researched.
I'm sure of that.
However, I believe all hornets have this ability. I mean,
so wait a minute, Mark.
Yeah,
that's an opportunity. If the medical whoever can figure out the enzyme or whatever that makes it so they can drink and not be affected.
Yes, that's the aha moment, Gary. And why this story made it on Clean and Sober Radio.
Yeah, that is absolutely incredible.
Isn't it?
Information,
isn't it?
And Brad, is that good stuff?
And I was shocked to find out that there's so many different, that there's fruit flies and all that drink alcohol. Basically, it's at different points, and that's one of the ways they survive. So
okay, that's cool. So, we're still in our fundraising drive.
Yes, we are.
And we need everybody to keep this show going. We're not kidding. To go on our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, and go to the donate button. We absolutely need these donations to keep this going.
Yeah, send some money in, and it goes to a great cause, carrying the message to people that are suffering.
Now, let's talk about this. You know, people can listen to this show all over the world, and they can watch it all over the world. If you're watching it, you would go to Facebook and go to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, and you'll watch us. And you can make comments and all this other stuff. You can make comments to the question of the week. And we also need you to, when you comment, to tell us where you are calling or watching from so Mark and I can mention you on the radio. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Yes. Just put your city or wherever it is. We had somebody from England a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely. And the question of the week is this. Listen carefully, everybody. Should your treatment for addiction be available to a prospective employer? Meaning, should you're going for a job, should the person who's interviewing, should they have access to your addiction medical files? Please, that's what we want an answer, okay? All right, so look, we come back. David's our guest. David has not been here, the first time in the studio, but he has an incredible, incredible story. And we're really looking forward to hearing what he has to say. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
What's happening? Brandon Novak here from Those Movies Jack Zor, author of that addiction memoir, Dream Seller. Do me a favor and tune into Clean and Sober Radio with Gary Hendler.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And welcome back to the show. You can also enjoy this show on WWDB in Philadelphia, 97.5 FM HD2 in Philadelphia, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and WNBR in Tampa, Florida. That's just a few of the stations. And Mark, how else can they...
Subscribe to the podcast. Just go to the iTunes store, or if you just look online and put Clean and Sober Radio podcast, it'll come up and it'll get delivered weekly right to your inbox, and you can hear it that way.
Great. That's good information. So, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I'll tell you something. I said to Mark, I could just tell from, we've only known each other for 5 minutes. I knew you were one of the good guys. I could just tell. And you got some crazy story, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Mark was telling you one that was like, me taking cars, from...
Yeah, who'd you steal the car from?
Oh, gosh, it was a counselor.
Your counselor?
Yes.
Your counselor is trying to help you. You stole his car.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not judging you.
No. We'd do anything for one more.
Were you just like in group? And you're like, I'm going to get out of here. And they left the keys in the car?
It was like a one-on-one session, And she left the keys there,
Oh, she left it on a table?
Yeah, she left the keys.
The keys?
Yeah.
Did you think anything was wrong with that?
At that time? No.
Of course not. All right, so where are you from?
From Camden.
Camden, New Jersey.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Born and raised.
All right.
Yes.
And what kind of family life did you have? What kind of childhood,
Well, it's six of us and, single mother. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest. And I don't want to say we wasn't loving, because we was loving, but, I was always different. That makes sense.
Well, it does. Like, what kind of things were you different? And did you know when you were a kid you were, I'm not going to say a little off, but you were different?
Well, as thinking back, I always think about, I never think about, how I became an addict, right? Mm-hmm. That's one thing I'm just one, right? Was I done thing to the excessive? Of course. When I played until, I got in trouble, right? When I got Fs, in my report card, I got all Fs, So I took anything I've done. I didn't find no halfway. I went all the way to the extreme, So it wasn't where, I call normal people that, be like, oh, let me stop with this,
Yeah, yeah.
That we kept on, It wasn't no stopping me.
And it was negative stuff you kept going with, right?
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Yes. I started, selling drugs at the age of 11.
11 years old.
Yes. Sneaking out of the house, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
So 11-year-old kid is in fifth grade? Is that what it is?
Yes, fifth grade. Yes.
Was this right here in Camden, New Jersey?
Yes, where yes. It was in Camden. My mom would go to sleep, and, I had the brightest idea to, because that was the environment, right? Everybody, that was the norm,
yeah.
Right? Because I was brought up in the city, and, you see these guys with flashy cars and, just the jewelry, the women, the power, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying? But since I always felt different, I wanted to be accepted,
I'm going to tell you something. That absolutely makes total sense. And people that have grown up in an entitlement neighborhood, a wealthy neighborhood, they can't understand that thought process of you see something, you know, it looks cool, it's cool, it's cool. And I want that because a lot of these people, they got what they want anyway. You right. had to work for it, no matter, even though it was criminal, you had to work for it. I totally get that. I want to tell you something. I grew up in a house, and we weren't poor, but my father always said, no, 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 you can't have it. I stole, got anything I wanted, right?
I'd done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just, you know, growing up in that environment, you know, it was just, that's all we had. That's all I knew, right? You know what I mean? My whole world was just that environment, right?
Right, so your environment wasn't... You weren't encouraged for education like other neighborhoods, right? You
exactly. It wasn't not like yeah. go to sports or be in yeah. school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sure, there was like one or two teachers that yeah. would do that. You know what I mean? But this was a public school, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, not saying that not all the teachers didn't care, but, you know, it was a paycheck, right, to some of them.
Now, your siblings, did they get involved with the stuff you were doing?
Not to the extent. Not uh-huh. to the extent that I took it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they say, you know, you turn out to be the person that you hate the most, well, dislike the most, right? And I'm exactly like my father, you know what I mean? I dislike my father. My father's an alcoholic, you know what I'm saying? And I don't believe, you know, let me put it this, I do believe that it's like it's in your genes, right? You know what I'm saying? You might skip one. You know what I'm saying? This is just my belief, right? And I just caught it from my father.
But your father wasn't, your mom was a single
parent. Single mother, yeah.
But
yeah.
was your father around sometimes?
Sometimes, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And that's one of the that's what happens, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, not everybody's fortunate to have their mom and dad, you know, be there, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's people that become addicts or, what you know, that are addicts or, you know, alcohol, whatever. They have the parents, right? You know what I'm saying? It just, we're off, right? I say this all the time. We're wired differently. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, your environment, I mean, you weren't the only kid whose father wasn't there.
Oh, absolutely.
So that was almost a norm that there weren't two parents in the house.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Across the street, there was, you know, mother and father, yeah. you know what I mean, a couple of houses. But then there was a whole lot of just mothers, you know what I mean, being yeah. fathers, yeah. you know.
And, you know, it's interesting. It's always the mother who sticks around. It's usually the male that takes off. In every culture, even in the animal kingdom, animals, like lions, it's the mother that takes care and the fathers leave.
Yeah, it's coming back to evolutionary psychology there, right? It's like, you know, that instinct to spread the seed, you know, yeah. and yeah. have lots of, you know, kids, you know, and...
Especially like being Latino, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, yeah. we're brought up as the macho man, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you are the king of the house and, you know what I mean? So, you know, once that leaves the house, you know what I mean? You look for other revenues as a father figure, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like my uncle was my father figure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That lived across the street. Yeah. And everything he did, I pretty much mimic, right? You know what I'm saying? Then it comes to like, you know, not being accepted and, you know, the abandonment issues and all that, you know? And then that's when, you know, the drugs came in, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, if you're just joining us now, we're having the pleasure of having David here. David's never been in the studio before. He's been in recovery for 6+ years. He grew up in a tough, I would say, to compared to a lot of different neighborhoods, it was a tough go to growing up.
Yes.
You know, you didn't have the opportunities that other kids had, maybe in more affluent neighborhoods. Opportunities. So, you know, when somebody can finally get clean and sober, even after having a tough road growing up, I applaud that, you know? I mean, there's some neighborhoods where somebody feels that, you know, if they're, no offense, if their BMW broke down, yeah. they're at the end of the world.
Right, right. That's me there. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm just
but
wimpy.
You know what I'm saying, Mark? Yeah. You know, but...
It's funny, I, like, you know, I have a business, right? And yeah. I have two girls that works for me from the city of Camden, right? And I had my business is, I would call it like suburbs, right? So I give them the opportunity to see what else is out than just Camden, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because this is, you know, that's how I was brought up. I was brought up just that environment, right? Mm-hmm. So I get to take them from this environment and put them in this environment and show them, hey, listen, this is the life, right? You know what I mean? This is the people that got an education, got a job, got a house, then had kids, right? Not had kids at 15, and then you're playing catch up. You know what I mean? That's like, you know what I mean? I can give that to somebody, and that's giving back, right?
You're definitely giving back.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that the program always taught me was give back, right? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how I give back, I still give back, you know? I give back to my, you know, to fellow addicts, and you know what I mean? Because this is what, you know, I was taught to do, right? You know what I mean?
Well, Mark and I talk about, you know, this the process of getting clean. You get clean, you get sober for yourself. And then the guys and the women that give back to other people, that's the real deal.
Absolutely, absolutely. See, it took me a long time until David wanted to do it for David, right?
Yeah.
David. So what happened was, you know, I went to a bunch of rehabs, right?
Yeah.
I've been to jail quite a few times, prison quite a few times. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody could have got me clean until David wanted to get David clean,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is for, you know, program that people that wants it, not need it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this is blood in me, right? This is how it becomes. You know what I'm saying? This becomes a lifestyle.
Why do you think you got clean? So why do you think you felt the need or the desire to help people? Because it's very easy. You get clean and sober, then you go on your merry way.
Right. Well, it's a self-centered thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, that's the core of the disease, right? The self-centered. Me, 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 and taking and taking. I took so much of this community, right?
Yeah.
This environment. Why not give back, right? You know what I'm saying? And not only that, it makes me feel good. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, you know, I'm an addict, and I love to feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they say it's a selfish program, so what?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all the things that we do, like what we do here, it's great. We're helping people, but it also makes Mark and I feel really good.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. I say it all the time, selfish, selfless program.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I say that all the time to my sponsors. I said, listen, it's about you, but it's not about you, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just again, for you guys that are watching the show or listening, the question of the week is, should your treatment for addiction be available to a prospective employer? Please let us know your thoughts on that when you chime in, and also where you're chiming in from.
Yes, and they're doing it. I've been watching.
And they're doing it. We have an email from Bob M. from Nashville, Tennessee. At what age should you discuss addiction with your kids? What do you guys think?
So to discuss addiction with your kid, you know, there is an age-appropriate way to do this. I would think it would depend a lot on, like, somebody's environment that they're living in. You know, are they going to encounter drugs really, really early on? Do I need to bring this up right now? But I would definitely think before, like, age 10.
Before 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. You don't have to get really deep into it. You know? But then afterwards, you can kind of, just so they're aware and things, mm-hmm. and then afterwards kind of broach the subject a little bit more and a little bit more as they get older.
How about telling your child about your addiction? Right. Have you told Mark? He knows, right?
He knows. He's never really asked
How
deep
old
questions.
Is he?
So my son is 13, and he's never asked like really deep questions about it.
Because his friends are getting high, I'm sure
No, because I have him at like a really at a friend select school, which I'm lucky, you know, to get him there. And there's no that I know of drugs or alcohol there.
Mark,
at this point. Oh no!
Come on, man.
Here we go.
Come on,
right over my head, right? But. Yeah. But he knows. He sees me go to meetings. I think he's been to one. We used to do, David and I used to do outdoor meetings during COVID.
Yeah.
And it was freezing out, and David brought this heater to the outdoors.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't work, by the way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And my son came to them.
So your kids are, they know your whole story.
Oh, they all, yes, they yeah. know. And it wasn't where they had the curse and the blessing. They saw me at my worst, right?
Yeah.
But then they saw me at my best. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, they know what it is if they start getting high, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They saw their dad go through it, you know what I mean? I can't, you know, from my experience, I can't sit here and be like, yeah, I would tell my son this. I believe it's the lifestyle, right? You know what I'm saying? If you live in, you know, a clean or sober life, whatever you know what I'm saying, it should speak for itself, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But ain't nothing wrong with you telling you, whoever.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? This is my story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is, you know, this is where I'm from. If you want to, right? Because this is really an anonymous program. Like, it really doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's how you living. That's my biggest thing. It's like, how are you living? You know?
Correct. So again, let me just bring up, so if you're listening to the show anywhere, that's great. If you want to watch, go to Facebook and Clean and Sober Radio, and you can communicate with us like these folks.
Mark Willig from Doylestown.
Oh, okay, good. Let's see who else. Judge Christopher Maddox from Lansdowne District Court in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. Kathy Wolf Collin, Carl Springs, Florida. Let me see who else. We mentioned Mark. Okay. Okay. So that's how you can reach us. You can also call us and speak to any one of us, especially David, at 1-888-728-9941. That is 888-728-9941. You call us. We'll be glad to put you on the radio. You can talk right on the radio.
Yes, and tell us about your journey, or ask any questions, you know, about recovery that you might, you know, want answered.
Okay, let's do this. Here's what we're going to do. I have somebody wrote in. I want to acknowledge that. We're going to take a break, and then we have a caller on the line, which we'll take as soon as we get back. Here's the thing. Sarah V. from Avalon, New Jersey. Is it wrong for me to go through my son's drawers looking for drugs in his bedroom? He's 15.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
You know, this day and age with fentanyl around.
He's not paying rent.
That's right.
He's not paying rent.
That's not his bedroom.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, Tyler, can we take a break and we'll come right back? Sounds good.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you, healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
Hey, this is Seth Williams. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Welcome back to Clean and Sober Radio. We're here with David, or David. And he's got one of these stories that are you have to give somebody that credit when they don't have the luxuries of a lot of easy ways, and gets it and then gives back, saves lives. You don't know how many generations you're responsible for saving because of what you're doing. It's cool. Thanks. Caller on the line, Jackie, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Gary. Hi, David.
Hey, Jackie.
So y'all got my best friend in that studio. Take good care of him. He is a great guy.
He is a great
guy. Yeah. He's a huge part of my recovery, and I couldn't do this without him. You got to let him talk, though. He's got an amazing story.
Well, listen, we got enough time. He can. We'll see how much he can fill up. But I'm interested. I always love guests like a David, where it's a really, it's a serious story how they came up, and it just makes me give the person more credit for accomplishing sobriety.
Yeah, he's come really far.
Jackie knows exactly. You know what I mean? And then it's amazing what like life you build when you start getting clean, right? You know what I mean? But how about, like, I met my wife, we're going on 28 or 29 years, you know what I mean? And
you should know that number, by the way.
Is she listening?
I'm getting old. I'm getting old, you know? And it's amazing how, like, you know, you find your rock, right? And it sticks by you. Yeah. No matter what, see your ups and downs, and just know that you are a better person, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, like, when you truly come into the recovery and you find your network, right? Because, you know, you can't rock alone. You can't do this alone. This is not an I program. You know what I'm saying? You find your rock, you find your network, and then you make it just explode. You know what I'm saying? To where, you know, they want the best for you, right? They just don't want to take. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that shows the quality of your wife, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we're lucky when you have wives that are really, really support you through thick and thin.
Listen, yeah, and listen, a lot of thick and thin, you know what I mean? Like,
it's a lot of thick and thin.
Yes. You know, I put her through so much, right? Yeah. And for her just to, like, understand addiction, right? I understand what David thinks, you know what I mean, and still stay there.
Yeah.
Because, there's family members, right, you know, that, you know, their husbands or whatever start getting high, and they took off, right? You know what I'm saying? It takes a special person. Right?
I think that there's more women that will stick with the guy than the guy will stick with a woman who is all doped up.
You think so?
Yeah. I think guys
that's
are
a good
gone,
question.
Man.
That's a good question next week.
Okay, we're going to use it next week.
Seriously.
Actually, yeah.
Great idea. I do think that guys won't stick around like women will.
It's kind of what I've witnessed over time.
That's the
over
question
time.
Next week.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, would you think, is the guy in recovery too?
So that would be...
Does he know about recovery? That's the thing right there. You know what I mean? Is he in? You know, listen, I'm going to tell you, my wife knows when I don't go to meetings, right? She's like, listen, you got to get your ass up and go to meeting, because mm-hmm. my spiritual program start going out the window, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I start, you know, acting out on this and this and, you know what I mean? Or saying things that I don't normally do, you know what I'm saying? And she'd be like, listen, you got to get out of here. Go make your meeting. You know what I mean? And she'll call Jackie, you know?
Oh, no. She'll call Jackie?
Yeah, because, you know.
How do you know Jackie?
Oh, God. Through the rooms.
Okay.
Right?
Cool.
You know, and Jackie's a big part of my recovery and a big part of my business, too. You know what I mean? She's, you know, she helps me, you know, manage my parts of my business where, you know, I don't have to worry about too much for it. You know what I mean? And she's a rock. She's good person.
We found some really good people after we got sober. You know, that long, lifelong friends.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well,
that don't want anything from you.
I was, you know, there's a meeting earlier and somebody said that we are the most unique people in this world, right? You know what I'm saying? Whatever we put our mind to, we can accomplish, right? Just like getting the next one, right? We've done anything possible to get that next one, right? So how about just changing that energy around where, you know, to stay clean, anything to stay clean, right? You know, no matter what, you know?
Are your parents still alive?
My mother's still alive.
Your dad passed?
My dad, no. My dad lives in couple cities over where, you know, I'm a mama's boy. And, you know, my mother's everything.
Did your parents, especially your mom, get to see you clean?
Yes. Now, it's funny that you say that because my mother has dementia, right? And it's getting to the point where, you know, she remembers me, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's hard, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When she's home and, you know, I have to come and take her home again. You know what I mean? I have to jump her in the car, take her around the block, and take her home again. You know what I'm saying? Or when she's not, you know, it's the hardest part, right? And I remember, like, my sponsor would say, you know what? I know you're not on this step, but it's time to make amends to your mother before it gets even worse, right? And I remember having a cup of coffee, sitting in the kitchen and telling my mother, you know, how sorry I am. And she's like, this is the proudest moment I've seen you, you know, staying clean, you know. And it's like, you know, yes, it touches the heart. You know what I mean? It gets right to the heart, you know what I mean? And it's amazing that she got to see me this way, right? You know what I'm saying? That, you know, right now, she sees, you know, David that comes in, had the cup of coffee with her, you know what I'm saying, put her to bed, you know what I'm saying? Not that David that wants to steal from her, don't want to ask for a dollar, right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't take everything that's not nailed down, you know? This is the David that's giving back, right? This is my amends to her, you know?
You show her, not just with talk, you do for your mother. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. It, you know, like I, you know, times like my wife would be like, where are you leaving at 12:30 at night? You know what I mean? My mother wants me to go over there. You know what I mean? Or my mother fell, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, yeah. You know, or I've stayed weeks at my mother's house. You know what I mean? Goes back to like finding your rock, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my wife is my rock. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for her, I to be honest, you know what I mean? I would have probably been lost. I would have been lost. You know what I'm saying? I remember like one time I was in Newark thinking I can be homeless, right? And she found me. She's like, no, you coming home, right?
Yeah, that's a good woman.
Yes.
You know?
You know, hey, you know, we go to church and people said, yeah, St. Elizabeth, you know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, because it's hard. Like, you know, I being in recovery, right, I see people come in and a lot of like rehabs and stuff like that where they don't have family, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they got to make a decision either to go back home to where there's nothing or start a new life, right? You know what I'm saying? I was fortunate enough where I had, you know, my rock, right? I had my support system. That's
exactly. It's so important to have that support system.
Oh, God. Yes, yes.
I mean, you, Mark, you come out of rehab or any kind of treatment, and there's nobody there to give you positive feedback, to give you, you know, direction to support you. That's a hard road, man, when you come out of there.
It's really hard, especially like, I know you walk down the steps of my home group, you're going to get a hug, right? Because, you know, that's the most important thing is, you know, because I know how it is, right? Feeling like when this disease tells you that, you know, nobody understands, nobody loves me, you know what I mean? Nobody been, I got the, new, I call them unique sneaks, you know what I'm saying? Like nobody gets me, right? You know what I'm saying? But when, you know, when you really want this and open up your ears and listen to a message, right? A message of recovery, right? You know what I'm saying? It does something, right? It does something to, I call it like when you out there and you get spiritually bankrupt, you know what I'm saying? Like just, you just, you know, that's when I gave up, right? When I just like my soul, right? Just couldn't take it no more, you know? Knowing that, you know, I can, you know, just tired of the routine, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then just, it just happens, right?
That's great.
You know
what I'm saying? Hey, we got another caller on the line. Steve. Steve is on the
hey,
line.
Hey, Steve.
Yo, Steve.
Yo, Steve.
Steve.
The guy. Yes, sir. What's going, David?
Yo, what's up, Steve?
Yeah, man. Tell you again, just when I was hearing you speaking on, again, that hug, how important that hug is, right? So, yeah, David gave me the first hug of hope, you know?
Wow.
When I gave into, you know, when I got into recovery, when I went into treatment and stuff, and like, and it's been building relationship since, you know. Again, it just started with a hug, you know, and the rest is all between me and him.
Because a lot of us didn't get that, even a hug, growing
intimacy.
Up, right?
Right. It's a whole total different intimacy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you ripping and rubbing, you don't get that love. You know what I'm saying? You don't get that initial, you know, I understand.
Yeah, or when you first get into recovery. I've seen this first. You know, somebody will come in the rooms and somebody will hug them, and they'll be like, what are you hugging me for?
Yeah.
It's like so new.
Yes. I get that all the time. Yeah. And you know what I tell them?
What?
We're going to love you until you learn to love yourself.
It's nice. Hey, Steve, yep. how do you know this guy?
Oh, well, I mean, I work a program with this man. He's, I call him nearly every day. He's my sponsor. And, he's, again, I got a good relationship with him. And it's just, from somebody I didn't even know that day. I've known for, like, you know, since. It's like over a year ago now.
Beautiful.
And like,
I'm glad that you called, Steve, because you know what? People don't know how important it is with a sponsor and sponsee, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that is the heartbeat of the program, right? Because we can't do this alone, right? Mm-hmm. And Steve said that we build that relationship, right? You know what I mean? And where that relationship comes to where, you know, goes beyond that love point where, you know, hey, listen, you know, this is what I think you should do, suggestions, right? You know what I'm saying? And you see that person growing as a person, right?
Yeah.
Seeing that person grow as a father, you know what I'm saying? Seeing that person grow as, you know, a loving, caring, not self-centered person, right?
Yeah, we do and we can get into recovery if we're alive. You know?
Yes.
You really can. Hey, Steve, where are you calling from?
Right now, me and my family just left Chili's. They're just sitting in the car, and I just want to step out, quickly call in. You know, things I get to do with my family today, you know?
Yeah, that's great. You're at Chili's. That's where you're from.
Yeah, that's where you're from, right?
You live at Chili's?
No. I'm calling from Burlington, New Jersey.
All right.
Hey, listen, you sound like a great guy. Best of luck. And, you know, it's great you've hooked up with David, and you'll be a success. That's what it's about. Right?
Yes. Yep. Thanks again. Thanks for you guys having this platform as well. It was great to hear, great to hear from a special person to me.
Well,
you know?
Best of luck to you and best wishes to you and your family, buddy.
Thank you, guys. All right, everybody. Take care.
See you, Steve. Take care.
All right. The phone's blowing up.
It really is blowing up.
Lou Montana's on the line.
Lou.
Lou.
What's going on, Lou? Listen, man, this show is so cool. I'm on here every Friday, and to turn it on and to see one of your friends in recovery on here really makes a big difference, right? It's like Steve just said, it's a great platform, man. I love this. It's actually one of my best part of recovery programs out there right now.
Well, that's nice.
Love you, man.
Love you too, man.
I threw my back out with this man many a times, Gary. He doesn't move anything light. Everything he has to move weighs 2,000 pounds or more.
That's right. He's got you, man.
We got the big back.
You know what, though? Anytime he calls, he knows I'm right there, right? I love DeVeet. DeVeet's got a good program. He's got a good soul, right? And I feel like I connect with him no matter what we've been through in the past, right? It's always been good, right? I have nothing bad to say about this man. He's helped so many people in this program. He's helped me, and I'm sure I helped him, but he's listened to me a lot, right? And he's just somebody you could talk to.
Hey, Lou, that's where you get it from. You know what I mean? It's listening. You know what I mean? Yes. That's the hardest part of this program is listening. You know what I mean? Showing compassion, right?
Because it's not all about us anymore.
No, it's not. It's not. Exactly. It's not. I love Lou. You know, Lou comes by my house and give my dogs treats all the time. Yeah.
Hey, Lou, where you calling from?
I'm calling from Burger King. No, I'm kidding. I'm home.
Yeah. Lou, you're sorry. Lou, you're quick, Steve.
Yeah, I'm home right now. I'm home trying to take care of this Medicare crap. I'm my mother.
Okay.
It's just so much paperwork. You know what? Oh, this program has given me the patience to handle this, right? It's slowed me down in life. And listen, it's all, NA has also given me the opportunity to be able to do this, right? Because without NA, I might be in Camden right now, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Lou.
Yes.
Is your home Mars?
It's right next to Mars. Right?
You never say where you was from. You said home.
You from Venus?
Yeah. I'm actually in Pennsauken, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. There you go. You got to laugh at me there, right? I'm not a Burger King. I lied. This is an honest program. I'm not a Burger King.
I love you, man.
Yeah. But anyway, this is...
Hey, Lou, who are you helping this weekend? What are you going to do this weekend to help somebody?
Well, this weekend is going to be... here's what's going on. I'm in the midst of moving my sister in, and I'm closing out her other house, moving all the furniture out. I got half the stuff here. Every room in my house right now is in shambles. I don't know where I'm putting what. So I'll be working all weekend trying to make room space and get my sister comfortable.
Okay, that's good. Right?
That's what I'm doing.
One thing about Lou, he always help out. All the time. Drop of a dime.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
And so do you. So it gets passed down from like generation to generation.
Yeah, that's what it's about, right? You know?
Yeah. Lou, have a great weekend, brother.
Listen.
Yeah.
Thanks for having this platform. I love all you guys, right?
Well, we love you.
Love you too, Lou.
I'll see you tonight, hopefully, DeVete Merchantville.
I'll see you.
See you, Lou.
You know, that is so great that we meet so many new people, you know, who really actually care for each other.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. It's amazing, right? You know, I'm going to tell you a quick story, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like, okay, so my mother still lives in Camden, right?
Yeah.
And there's days that I take care of her, right? I go out about like 3:30, smoke a cigarette, drink my cup of coffee, right? And you see the desperation, right? The one more, right? You know, other people will call it zombie walking, you know what I'm saying? But I call it like, you know, hopelessness, right? You know what I mean? That don't know another way out, right? You know what I'm saying? There's plenty of times like I just wish that I can be like, listen, there's a brother, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, get your shit together, you know what I mean? But like I said earlier, this is a program for people who want it, not need it, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could just, if they ask, I'll tell them. You know what I'm saying? But just the desperation, right? You know what I'm saying? The other day, you know, I seen a guy with two lighters just looking on the floor. You know what I mean? And just...
Well, I mean...
Sleeping, you know what I mean? Like, check this out. And one of the literature says animalistic level, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They think it's okay to sleep on the floor, right? You know, with a blanket and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Or hang out all night, right? You know what I mean? Where I call normal people, you know, get a job, go to school. You know what I'm saying? Like build a life, right? You know what I mean? Us addicts don't think that way. You know what I mean? I know it's about me. When can I get the next one? You know what I mean? And until they want it, right? Because the help is out there, right? The help is out there. Until they really want it and they get that little seed in them, right? Maybe it'll change, right? Because I've seen plenty of kids come in young, right? You know, they'll come into the home group, you know, and then like they go back home and they don't have the support. Remember we were talking about?
Sure.
And then next thing you know, they OD'd, right?
Yeah.
Plenty. Like I must have had like three sponsees, right, that died, thinking that they can do one more. You know what I'm saying? Like I stopped sponsoring people for a while because I thought it was me, right? I thought it was me, right? Until like I dug deep down with my sponsor and a couple of, you know, people in the program, and I can't carry an addict.
You actually thought you were powerful enough not to let somebody overdose.
Oh, absolutely.
Or you're powerful enough to keep somebody clean.
Yes. I can't carry nobody.
You can't do that.
No.
All right, we got to take another break. Okay. You're going to stay with us, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I ain't going nowhere. None right, of that good. Traffic.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope and believe with the effective treatment we can offer designed uniquely for you within reach of where you are standing, you'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled G-A-U-D-E-N-Z-I-A. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
This is Elvin Bishop, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And we're back, and thanks for joining us at Clean and Sober Radio. Hey, Mark, I want to know... How your new gig's going?
It's going great. Pennsylvania Recovery Centers and Cherry Hill Recovery Centers offers individualized, state-of-the-art treatment in a safe therapeutic environment. PHP, IOP, MAT, substance abuse, mental health treatment. Call 610-233-4342. That's 610-233-4342.
And I hear that organization is absolutely fabulous, and we know that Chris Turian has a big, big part in that, and we're glad you finally landed in a good place.
Yeah, they've been great.
That is
they've been great.
Super. Leon R. from Liverpool, England. He says, what is the difference between drug addiction in England and United States? So I looked up a couple things, all right? And let's just talk about airport seizures. The seizures in the United States of marijuana, 74% of the seizures of drugs is marijuana. In England, it's 65% for marijuana at the airports. Cocaine, the United States is 13%, and in England, it's 30% in England. And for heroin, it's about even. 2% of the seizures for both countries are heroin seizures. So I guess it's... cocaine is bigger in England at the airports, and marijuana is bigger in the United States.
Sounds that way, Gary.
Is that about right, you think?
You know, I am not sure. I haven't looked at the numbers. You know, I know that we're a lot worse than England in terms of, you know, fatalities and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
United States is pretty darn bad.
You ever get searched at the airport?
No, I came very close with my dad. You know, I was not expecting it because I went pre-9/11 security and I used to have no problems. You know, then 9/11 security, I got searched the whole bit and I was with my dad and they didn't find anything. And I had it.
Oh,
like,
you were lucky.
I was sitting here picturing like my dad is going to be so upset right now.
What did you have on you?
Just pot, you know, but it was right in between like my belt and my, you know what I mean? But I was like, I'm done. My dad's going to kill me.
Well, it was way different. I remember, pre-COVID, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, I remember, like, when, like, 23, my mother was like, here, go to Puerto Rico. You might be clean over there, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember taking heroin with me over, you know, in the plane, you know?
Who? Like,
dope, heroin.
Oh, like, I thought you said Harold.
Yeah, no. No. You know what I mean? Like right on the plane. You know what I mean? Like if they didn't have it over there, you know?
Right.
You know? Yeah. Like I tell, you know, like you could put me in the desert and I'm still going to find it. You know, addicts know addicts, right?
Yeah.
You know, they put me in the mountain and I still found it in Puerto Rico. You know,
of course.
So it doesn't matter. And with that question that you just asked, you know, so pre-COVID, right? you know, I knew, you know, recovery was everywhere, right? Yeah, you know, I knew, right? During COVID, I had evidence that recovery is all over this world, you know, through Zoom. Uh-huh. You know, yeah. Like I've made meetings in South Africa. I made meetings in England. You know, it's amazing what that pandemic has done, right? You know, it done some positive things and it done some negative things. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it made me realize that, you know, recovery is all around the world. You know, addiction, drugs is everywhere. You know, it's not just the United States. It's not here in Jersey. It's not in PA. It's not in, you know, you know what I mean? This is a worldwide thing, right? You know what I mean? And there's, you know, addicts all over this world, right?
And it's not getting any better. But I'll tell you something. I just, at the airports, I get every time I get stopped. Every single
you
time.
You do?
Yeah. You know why?
Because you have felonies on your, well, not anymore.
My knee was replaced. The buzzer goes off every single time.
I have titanium in my ankle. It never goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Wow.
I don't care. Let him
I thought it was just a face.
Huh?
I thought it was just, yeah, they're like, yeah, let's stop him.
Yeah, me too. Did you know this guy got a pardon? Federal pardon?
President.
Wow.
From the president. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hook me up.
you need one, huh?
Steven Sussman says hello from Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, Steven, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Steve.
Let's see what else is doing. So the number 1-888-728-9941. We have about 4 minutes left. You want to jump in here? That's great. And also, this is important. If you need help, if you think you might need help, if you know somebody needs help, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP.
And then there is the suicide hotline, yeah. And that is 988-988. If you're feeling hopeless, having thoughts of suicide, reach out to that number and you will get help. And that's the biggest thing is people lose hope. You know, they think that, you know, depression is like, man, I'll be better off. People will be better off without me, you know?
And it's amazing how more information is out there today, you know what I mean, than it was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know
big
what
difference.
I mean? Yes, yes.
Big,
you
big
know,
difference.
If, you know, just get the seed in you. That's it.
So, David, do you have any words for somebody that's struggling right now and really doesn't know what to do?
You know what? It's amazing, right? The little words that we can say, you know, it just give yourself a chance, right? You know, it's a good friend of mine says, you know, if you know, give yourself a chance. If not, we'll give you your misery back, right? You know what I'm saying? Everything shall pass, right? Just don't get high, don't get loaded, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And get some help.
Yeah, and if you want to live like you're living now for the rest of your life, okay, keep going. But if you want a good life, you can get it.
It's a gold mine. It's a gold mine. You know, this right here, this recovery thing, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. You know what I mean? And let me tell you, that is like the most number one thing in my list, right? Above everything, right? You know what I'm saying? It's my recovery. Right, goes. And I'm sorry, wifey, if you listen or whatever. It goes before my wife. It goes before my kids. You know what I'm saying? Because if I don't have my recovery, I don't have them.
That's true, right?
Absolutely.
I'm glad you brought this guy on.
Oh man, David is the best. I mean,
yeah, you are. You're really up there.
He's great, and
you're in the top 10.
I know you were going to say top 11. I would be like, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to mention again, listen, we have a fundraiser. Please go to our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Hit the donate button. Give back to us a little bit so we can keep back, Pete, we can keep giving back to you. David, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You'll come back again.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me.
Fabulous.
Amazing.
Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you, all of you, for joining us each and every week. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Tries to bring you